Will retailers have something to ho-ho-ho about?
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Steve Chiatakis. It's the Marketplace Midday Update at Marketplace.org for Friday, November 26th. Let's bring in economist Chris Lowe from FTN Financial with some analysis this morning on this and the traditional first day of the holiday shopping season. He's live with us from Connecticut. Hi, Chris.
Good morning.
So it's tough to feel good on this day of losses on Wall Street, at least so far. But we've seen some optimism from retailers about this season. Why are they feeling better, Chris?
Yeah, a little bit of optimism anyway. And I tell you, what we're looking at is consumer spending numbers just the last 3 or 4 months that have been consistently just a tenth of a percent or two better than expected. And positive to boot, so that's always a good sign. But we have a little bit of spending momentum going into the end of the year.
And the jobless claims, too, right, that came out earlier this week.
Well, that's right. And economists and investors looking at that one and sort of puzzled, there's two ways to read it. There was a big drop in the number of people filing for unemployment insurance. It could be because retailers are putting more seasonal workers on this year compared to the last two. The other thing that's going on, which probably most people are aware of, the retailers sort of started their Christmas focus early this year, and that might be it.
Markets are tanking, Chris, globally, concerned about sovereign debt in the Eurozone. And I see this morning's Washington Post, Sheila Bair, the FDIC chair, lamenting at the possibility of big U.S. debt, and that we're going to have trouble with this in the next couple of decades. What do you think?
Well, that's right. We have real structural issues in the U.S. There's two significant things going on that have made the deficit much bigger. One of them is that, the recession was really ugly, and we sort of blew out 5% of our productive capacity, and it hasn't been replaced. That means a lower tax base. And then on top of that, the aging demographics of the U.S., more people on Social Security and Medicare going forward. Those two things point to very large deficits in the future. If we don't tackle it now, which would be painful, but if we don't do it now, it will be a lot more painful in the future.
Is that
what Ms. Bair was after?
Just in 20 seconds or so, Chris, is that even possible, though?
Well, it's extraordinarily hard. Two things I've seen which put it in perspective. One, in the New York Times, in polls, they found that on any individual program, it turns out 60% of Americans are opposed to cutting it. It's just a different 60%. The other one was quite a few of these Tea Partiers who just got into Congress were offered seats on Ways and Means to give them control over the budget.
We're going to have to wrap it up there, Chris. We're going to have to wrap it up there. But you're right. It is going to be tough nonetheless.
That's right.
Chris Lowe at FTN Financial. Chris, thanks.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Well, retailers, of course, are hoping for those better numbers this year. But there's one thing working against them, the calendar. Christmas falls on a Saturday. Marketplace's Jeff Tyler reports.
If store owners could pick, Saturdays would be their least favorite day to celebrate Christmas. Gary Rosenberger is with the economic forecasting firm Econoplay.
Because Christmas falls on a Saturday means also that you're closed for half a day the Friday before. So you've lost two huge, huge days.
Many people could also take off the whole day on Friday. Britt Beamer with America's Research Group says stores will lose out if consumers take long weekends and travel out of town.
They've taken some of those vacation dollars, what they're spending to go on the vacation, out of their Christmas budget, which leaves them less money to buy Christmas gifts.
There's also some evidence that consumers may be trying to spend less. Beamer's surveys show many Americans plan not to use credit cards this year. Again, potentially bad for retailers, since studies show that consumers only spend about half as much when they pay with cash. I'm Jeff Tyler for Marketplace.
One of those big retailers hoping for a bump this holiday season is Macy's. The company also owns Bloomingdale's and other department stores across the country. Terry Lundgren is CEO of Macy's, Inc., and he's with us now. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, Steve. How are you?
Doing well, doing well. There's a little bit of optimism out there that I'm feeling, or that I'm seeing anyway, for the holiday retail season. What are you seeing from Macy's and Bloomingdale's so far?
Well, so far, we've had a very good year. For the first three quarters, both Macy's and Bloomingdale's are running up close to between 4 and 5% on same-store sales year to date. So we feel very, very good, and we're forecasting a continued strong performance of plus 3 to 4% for the final quarter. So we feel pretty darn good about this year.
The retail sector, though, as you know, has been hammered over the past few years. What have you done to prepare your company in case something happens?
Like the White House has suggested, we didn't waste a good recession. So the last 2 years, we've made major changes, particularly at Macy's, that we've contemplated in the past. But we felt that when we saw the challenge in the economy in 2008, that would be a good time to begin to make some of these changes, because business is going to be tough no matter what the circumstances.
A lot of people are doing their shopping online, right? How has the internet changed the way you folks do business these days, as far as shipping costs and things like that?
Well, if you spend $99, that's the number that we seek from our consumers. If you spend $99 in this period, we're going to ship it to you for free. That gets us to a hurdle rate that makes it not profitable necessarily, but it generally will raise our average unit sale and make it worthwhile so that we can break even on the shipping cost based on the higher purchase.
Your department stores are thought of as mid to high-end retailers. What do you think it says about the economy if these stores are on the upswing?
I think people are making their checklist. They're deciding how much money they want to spend on gifts. But the difference is they're spending money on gifts, and then they're buying something for themselves. And I think that's been the big early turnaround for us in these last several weeks. And I'm hoping that idea, you know, carries on through the holiday season.
Terry Lundgren, CEO of Macy's Incorporated. Terry, thank you.
Thanks, Steve.
A survey from the National Retail Federation finds that cell phones are the hot trend this season, but not as gifts. As shopping tool, Andrea Gardner reports.
The toy department at Target is packed and noisy, but Shelley Scanlon stays focused. She takes out her smartphone and aims it at the toy she wants, Sheriff Woody from Toy Story.
At Target, it's $54.99, and it's searching. Amazon.com has it for $49.99.
Meet every retailer's worst nightmare before Christmas, an app called Shop Savvy that turns your phone into a barcode scanner and search engine. On Scanlon's screen is a list of other retailers who carry Sheriff Woody and their prices. In a down economy, this is powerful information.
$5 starts to add up.
That's Alexander Muse, the creator of Shop Savvy. He says millions of shoppers have the app and are planning to use it during the holidays.
And that means that during kind of this Christmas shopping season, Shop Savvy users are going to save around $150 million. And so it makes a big difference in a lot of folks' pocketbooks.
And to retailers. A recent survey from WSL Strategic Retail says a quarter of consumers use their phones when they shop, often to compare prices, says WSL analyst Candace Corlett.
Retailers have got to join in. You're not going to fight it, so you might as well join it and find a way to use it to your advantage. Because shoppers are going to embrace this technology. They already have. It's going to be the in-store service tool of the future.
Many big box stores now advertise their price matching policies so that consumers who get alerted to better deals elsewhere won't leave empty-handed. Some, like Best Buy, have created their own apps to keep shoppers in their sights.
The app now puts it right in the palm of your hand, and you can expect that they would go up to the manager and say, here, look, here's the price. $4 less. Match it.
Corlett says the smartphone could eventually replace the sales associate, but first it will have to learn to gift wrap. In Los Angeles, I'm Andrea Gardner for Marketplace.
In New York, commuters are lining up for subway cars, buses, and cabs alike all the time. And there are more than a dozen different taxi models crisscrossing the streets of the Big Apple. Now the city wants a uniform fleet, and it's looking for the taxi of tomorrow. Marketplace's Elisa Roth reports.
New York City taxi cabs drive roughly 70,000 miles a year.
We believe if a taxi cab can make it here, it can make it anywhere.
David Yasky is in charge of the Taxi and Limousine Commission. We talked in the back of a cab, which might explain why he made a point about the size of the new taxis.
The goal is to have a car that is comfortable for both the passenger and the driver, that's spacious, that's also fuel efficient and accessible for all New Yorkers, including people with disabilities.
This is the first time New York will have taxis that are designed for the job. And it's also the first time all the taxis will be the same model. The three finalists are made by Ford, Nissan, and a Turkish company called Karsan. They're all variations on a minivan theme. The Nissan's a pretty standard minivan. The Ford is a version of its European delivery van. And the Karsan is futuristic, like an elongated smart car. Tim Gross was hailing a cab in front of Grand Central Station. He looked at photos of the three candidates and said he liked the Ford and the Nissan best. But more than styling, what he wants in a new taxi is
cleanliness and, being comfortable as well.
Not to mention being there when you need one. The city will choose the winner early next year, and the new taxis will be phased in over the next 5 years. In New York, I'm Elisa Roth for Marketplace.
The term wiki comes from the Hawaiian word for fast. In its simplest form, it means web collaboration. Don Tapscott co-wrote a book in 2007, Wikinomics, on how internet wikis were changing modern economics. Now, he's followed up with another book called Macro Wikinomics. Don Tapscott, welcome to the program.
Good morning.
Hey, refresh us on the term wiki.
Wiki is some software that enables a number of people to co-edit a document, but it's become a metaphor for collaboration, and collaboration that can occur on an astronomical scale. So if you can create an encyclopedia with a million people who've never met, what else could you create? And it turns out you can create physical goods, like the Chinese motorcycle industry is a bunch of little companies, they cooperate, and there's no Harley Davidson pulling all the strings. This is now a third of all motorcycle production in the world.
Where does the macro part of Wikinomics come into play?
Wikinomics was about collaborative innovation. Macro Wikinomics is about how collaboration is changing every institution in society. Many of the institutions that have served us well for decades are no longer able.
We know, Don, the internet keeps proliferating across the planet. So what, if anything, could stop these types of ideas?
I don't think anything. In fact, the current recession, it's accelerating the rate of change. It's causing advertising revenues for newspapers to decline, so they need to look at new models. It's depleting government coffers, so the governments now need to fundamentally change. I think the cat is out of the bag.
Does the fact that more people, Don, are getting involved in these, as you say, global collaborations mean we're going to, I don't know, spread ourselves too thin or make ideas less interesting or even run out of monetary incentive?
Well, no. In fact, everybody's making money. The Wikipedia model is really an exception to the rule. But even in Wikipedia, there are subtle commercial things going on. If I have someone who gives me a resume and they say I've written 40 Wikipedia articles, that tells me a lot more than that they went to Harvard Business School. It's a huge challenge for each of us to step up and don't fight the future, but to embrace it.
Well, the book is called Macro Wikinomics. It's a follow-up to the original Wikinomics book, and Don Tapscott is the co-author. Don, thank you for joining us this morning.
It's my pleasure.
And finally, Pennsylvania tobacco shop owner Ron Ray sold himself a winning lotto ticket. The 68-year-old says the $1.8 million he won will help him retire. And because the winning ticket came from his store, he's going to get an extra $10,000. In Los Angeles, I'm Steve Chiotakis. This is the Marketplace Morning Report.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.